Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Thought Girl Summer. We have a great guest in today, okay? Someone who's been on the show many times before, back by popular demand. Leximus, say hi.
Hello, hello, everyone. How are you guys doing?
And as always, you got me, Producer Tim, and Drexel, the mayor of MGTOWN, joining us.
Hello to everybody out there. Welcome to another exciting edition of Thought Girl Summer. We are going all out with our men in the service, man. You guys are the men who serve this country, but the thoughts are serving this country even more. Because
they're serving us in the military, so that's, you know, how it works.
Yeah, yeah. Lex, I know.
Not me personally, I never.
We're getting every branch. We're hitting all the branches of the service. And you are more than welcome. Whatever Thought Girl Summer stories you got, man, talk about it for all those troops that got boots on the ground and foots and dicks and asses. Let it go.
Well, I remember I talked about the last story where you had the death by DBC, so I don't know if you want me to recap that story for those who may not have heard it.
Let's go with something original, new.
Well, okay. Let's talk about Desert Queens. You know what a Desert Queen is?
That's our Arabs.
Well, no. There's a different kind of Desert Queen.
You mean your station?
Yeah. No. So when you're downrange, say like if you're like in Afghanistan or Iraq, I was never deployed downrange, but these are the stories that I heard from everyone downrange. They would say, yeah, no, like when you're out there in a rotation out in Iraq or in Afghanistan, and you know you're around the same people and those girls that look like twos in back in Garrison and the States are starting to look like some tens out in the desert.
Yeah,
desert
I heard
heat.
That.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, you hear stories about these girls just getting ran through inside the they would have like connectors, like giant like container crates, and it would convert into like rooms because, you know, when they were first down out there in like Iraq and Afghanistan and stuff, they didn't have all the infrastructure that they had now. So they would use those connectors as like makeshift rooms, and they would just talk about these girls just getting fucking ran through, and I mean like just all the holes being filled up.
That's what we like to hear. Now, Lex, for the people who need to understand, when you say that the soldiers are smashing these girls, are they smashing fellow U.S. soldiers, or are they smashing the local girls, for the people out there who need to know?
Both.
Of course. Of course. So are you saying, Lex, that the girls in these foreign lands are no better than these westernized turbo thoughts that we have here?
Oh, yeah, no, like, listen, if you're American, especially if you're black or white, you are basically the prize, like the ultimate prize to have. Like, they love white guys and black guys out there. Like, they will do anything and everything for you.
That's what I've heard from everyone that's ever served.
It's ridiculous. It's not really ridiculous, but it's incredible to see, like, how they act one way, like, in public and, like, this idea that how their culture is. And in reality, you just hear all the depravity and degeneracy that these fucking girls are doing. It's like, God damn.
Give us some idea. Let the people at home know. I mean, they're getting all tree holes filled. They're getting ran through. Like, how many dudes at one time? Are they getting Eiffel Towered? Give us some examples of all the stories you've heard or saw when you were in the service.
Well, so I had an NCO. We'll call her Sergeant Kegel. Yeah, she was a very interesting character. She talked like this all the time. She was like black, but she had red hair. Was the weirdest thing in the world. So she always talking like this. You fucking shitbag. Listen here, Lex. You piece of shit. You get over here right now, you motherfucker. And always talking like that and everything and making like a scene. Well, before she became an NCO, she was Specialist Kegel, and Specialist Kegel was caught by one of the guys in my platoon, who was stationed with her out back in Fort Hood, getting fucking spit roasted by two dudes in her company. You know, these fine, brave NCOs, you know, who are the epitome of soldiers in the military, are just getting fucking spit roasted before and during and after their time in the military.
They're stunning and brave, right?
Oh, yes. So stunning and so brave. I mean, it reminds me of, like, that new Army commercial about, like, you know, I had to go through so much adversity, you know, two moms, and I fought for what was right, and now I'm a soldier. And I'm like, really? This is the shit that we're promoting for our military? My God.
The most adverse thing she's ever gone through is 10 miles of dick.
The thousand dick stare?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So Lex, you guys are, you know, you're over there, you're stationed here, you're stationed there. What were the things that you saw that were all in common and things that you saw that were different as a U.S. soldier stationed in different places?
Well, basically, it was free game. Like, everyone was fucking everyone. And the females in particular were getting ran through by, not everyone, I would say, but by certain types of dudes. So, not every dude was getting laid, but most females were getting laid. So they were just, it was all, she would hop from one dick to the other, and back to the first one, and to the second one. It is like a cycle. It's cyclical. It repeats.
What would you say is the average female body count in the service, in the Army?
Man, that's tough to say. It really just depends. So it kind of depends on like the MOS you're in. Some MOS are more heavily female. Some MOS are more heavily male. And now that females are now allowed in combat roles, they're now allowed to be in combat infantry. I imagine it goes worse. So for the MOS that I was, it was fairly even. It was a small MOS. So you would see the same people typically throughout like your career. Like how the one guy I knew, I was talking about the Sergeant Kegel, he had known her like 3 or 4 years before that, and he saw her again in the same, you know, or in a different unit. So he wasn't surprised when he saw her. And so it depends on that. But if it's a more heavily female MOS, it might be a little bit less. But if it's a more male dominated MOS, you're probably going to get fucking higher body counts than if you were in like an even or more female heavy one.
And how many of these girls would you say actually earned their positions in the United States military?
Very, very, very few. Very few.
So you would be willing to argue that most of them sucked or fucked their way to their position.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
And then blackmailed their commanding officers, right?
Oh, yeah. All right, like I said last time, this one girl, she literally had her company by the balls. She was fucking her NCO, her platoon leader, the first sergeant, the commander, everything. So she got put in to work in the mailroom. She did nothing all day except go to PT, go to formation, and then spend like jack shit just being in the mailroom and getting it and putting it in people's shit. She was fucking and sucking and doing everything in between. And it's funny enough, her name was Cox, like I said last time. So
that's just beautiful.
Oh, it's just poetic.
Yeah, just poetic. Bleep the name.
Well, I mean, it's her last name, so they won't even know who it is.
I'm sure like half the United States knows who she is.
Wow. Well, only from the back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty common name. So Lex, when it comes to stories that you heard, what was the worst story you heard from a fellow soldier?
But this dude getting his cheeks taken by a guy in basic training. He went full Fleece Johnson.
Never go full Fleece Johnson.
Never go full Fleece. Don't get your cheeks. No, don't get your cheeks taken.
Yeah, it was bad.
So do you think he would use the hot poker?
The guy would use a hot poker or the guy?
The guy who got his cheeks took. You think he would have used the hot
poker? Yeah, he probably would have. Yeah, he would have gone full hot poker. To go with the story. What were you going to say, Tim?
I was just saying, the longer we go without a season two of Redo, the worse it is.
Miss Columbia is anxiously waiting. Like, she is like beyond pumped.
I remember when I showed it to Miss Lex, and she's like, "Lex, what the fuck am I watching? What is this?" And I'm like, "Just trust me, just trust me." Like, it's gonna get interesting from here. And she's like, "What the hell?" And so I have a question for you, babe. would you have used the hot poker, yes or no? And she's like, of course. Like, after all the shit she put him through, of course, I would have done it too.
Drex, we're batting 1,000 on this question here.
Yep. Every female says
the women all want to use the poker. The men say, nah, it's a little much.
Yeah, dudes are like 50-50. They're like, yeah, I don't know. They're on the fence.
Miss Lex is right here if you want to ask her that. Like, she saw it. Remember, babe?
Hi, everyone.
Yeah, after you're done doxing yourself there.
Yeah, Lex. Whoops.
You're horrible. You just dox everyone on the reg. Because you doxed your brother, too. That was hilarious.
Well, he doxed himself, so.
You posted the fucking screenshot.
Did I? Well.
Yeah, you did.
Whoops. Okay, I did. Okay.
I had to delete that shit, because I was like, holy shit. Like, doxing yourself is one thing. Doxing him was the other. There's a whole other thing. Yeah. Anyways.
Whoops.
Miss Lex. Hello, welcome.
Hi, but like I was telling Mr. Legs, I was going to say yes, because what happened shouldn't have happened in general, like, what the heck? And then he's like, no, why would you say that? And then later on, he sees that, what was the part? Like,
The dude's getting his cheeks taken by the big old black guy, I forget his name, like, he's getting
his
cheeks. Like,
you know, Drexel, after his name is Drexel. Three,
yeah.
Yeah, Bullet. Oh, by the way, if you didn't notice, Bullet is also a priest. If you didn't notice that little reveal at the very end of season.
Oh, yeah, it's even worse. But, so to get back to the Fleece Johnson story, pretty much how it goes is that this guy was a recycle. He had failed his first time, like, in basic training. Like, he had gotten injured or something. And so he had gotten recycled and put in the middle of another basic training. So this story was from another basic training company that was happening at the same time as during mine. And I learned this story afterwards during AIT, so when I'm learning how to do my job. So this is like a couple weeks after I just left. Pretty much how the story goes is that this person, how do we call him? We'll call him Hamilton. He is this big old freaking black dude, 6'3". You know, he's a big buff guy, but he was from like the hood and stuff. So he was like, had a real issue with authority and everything. And, you know, they try to straighten that out during basic training. And the small, scrawny little dude, we'll call him, I don't even know. What's Lil Nas X? We'll call him Lil Nas. Fucking Lil Nas was clearly in the closet. He was not comfortable with his sexuality. And so the guys would tell me that, yeah, no, because in basic training, at least during mine, we had open bay showers. So everyone was just, you know, showering naked. So everything was hanging. There was, you know, nothing left to the imagination. But everyone knows that in that code, you don't look down. Eye contact always. You keep your head straight. You don't look down. Don't make it weird. You know, we're all men here, but just respect like that unspoken code. Well, again, whoops, I'm doxing him. Lil Nas, my bad.
You are fucking horrible, man.
Tim has to do so much editing.
I'm going to start charging for this, man.
My bad. Lil Nas was weird. He would never shower at the same time as the guys. He would always wait until everyone was done, and he's like, yo, Lil Nas, like, what's wrong with you? Like, you know, we're all guys here. Yeah, I know it's a little weird. It's a little uncomfortable. You might not be used to it. But listen, we're all men here. We're all, you know, well, they all assumed they were straight. There was a couple of gay dudes. But even the gay dude didn't make a weird deal about it. He respected it enough to not look down. But anyways, yeah, we're all men here. We're all, you know, cool. Just, you know, come shower with us. It's fine. It's not a big deal. And he's like, okay, fine. You know, he was like really effeminate and everything. He was just out in the corner. He wasn't really comfortable. He like was looking down, like, but like try not to look. And he, you know, kept looking at the guy's stuff. And so the Lil Nas got really like close to the females in his platoon. And there was this one guy. He was a really good looking dude because he was like an actor, like a legit actor. He had been a stunt double for a famous actor. I'm not going to say who. And he was in a very famous YA a franchise. So I'm not going to say who it is. So I won't dox him. But he it's legit. He's a cool guy. We'll call him Honest Abe. So Honest Abe was like the guy that all the girls in the platoon like, oh, he's so hot, Honest Abe, oh my god. And so they're like, yo, little Nux, we were just wondering, how big is Honest Abe? And he's like, well, it's like really like, and he started just going into detail about all the stuff. And so the dudes felt really kind of weirded out by the guy. So Hamilton, which was the you know, Mr. Fleece Johnson in this story, overhears this stuff, and he kind of figures out that Lil Nas might be in the closet. But everyone thinks that Hamilton is like this big old straight black, big black. It was like, oh yeah, you know, he's like, I don't know where he was from. I know he was from the hood. That's all I know. So people started noticing that Hamilton and Lil Nas started talking and hanging out whenever we had free time. But whenever they did, they would always be talking. So the story goes is when you're in basic training, you have this thing called fire guard. It's basically just two people have to be awake for 1 hour out of the night, like, and make sure that everyone's in their bed, accounted for, nothing's you know, going wrong, there's no fire, and pretty much it. And then throughout the night, the drill sergeant will come in and get roll check and everything, and make sure that everyone's in there, and get like information from the fire guard. Well, the fire guard wasn't doing their job this night. They were asleep in the fucking laundry room. So Hamilton took this opportunity and said, yo, Lil Nas, let's go. I'm like, where are we going? Just follow me. So Lil Nas goes into the bathroom stall, and Hamilton goes to the other bathroom stall next to him. And Hamilton slips him under a note to his stall. And he's like, he says, do you like men? Yes, no, or maybe. Well, Lil Nas is still in the closet. And he hasn't come to terms that he's gay, but everyone else knows it. He was, you know, people were weirded out by it because they felt uncomfortable that he was checking the dudes out and describing it to all the girls. He got in trouble because of that, but regardless. So Lil Nas crumples up the paper and, like, you know, throws it away and goes back into his bed, or tries to go to his bed. So then Hamilton gets out of the stall, grabs him, is like, you didn't answer my question, and starts kissing him. Do you like men? Yes or no? And Lil Nas is like, no, just get away from me. No, no. And so everyone's asleep at this point. And mind you, in basic training, you have open bays. So everyone has a bunk bed per se. And then you had your locker, but there's nowhere to hide. Like, everyone's sleeping in the same area, but everyone's asleep. So you have one guy in the bottom and one guy in the top. Well, Hamilton was not satisfied with what had happened, and he had got rejected. He got really angry and furious. So it's really fucked up what happened. So when Lil Nas gets to his bed, Hamilton comes after him, and he's like, "You better answer my question now." He then whips out his dick and starts forcing him to fellatiate him in the middle of the bay. Everyone's asleep. There's a guy above him because he's on the bottom bunk, and he starts making him suck him off while he's in the bed. So then he turns him over. You know, he has to make some lubrication, so he spits and he tries to, you know, force himself upon him. Yeah. It's bad. And this is all happening. Fire guard's supposed to be taking account, but these motherfuckers are asleep in the laundry room. This dude's getting fucking his cheeks taken in the middle of the bay while someone's sleeping right above him and next to him. So, you know, he does his thing, and he's telling him, if you say anything, I'll fucking kill you. I'll tell everyone that you wanted this and everything. And so fucking...
Oh, fuck.
Lil Nas is just mortified what happens. He then, after, you know, Hamilton had his way with him, he goes off to bed, and then just fucking, he's just, you know, shocked what just happened. He goes into the bathroom and just starts waiting there, and he eventually tells the fire guard what happened. So then the fire guard tells the drill sergeant, and then they had to get the MPs, and he got arrested. And yeah, it's no one ever knew what happened to them, but that was the last they saw of them too.
Damn.
All
right. Yeah. Well, Mr. Lexmas, thank you very much for coming on and telling your stories of Thought Girl Summer.
Oh.
I don't know where that one fit, but it fits.
I don't know. I mean, it fits with lube.
Here's where it fits.
I mean, Yeah. But I mean, I know a couple other stories too. Let me try to think. I'm trying to think back now.
You're not good on the spot.
I know the last time that I talked about the story of the one guy, you know, who has the name associated to a very famous person who got acquitted by a Pennsylvania court. But you cut that out.
Yeah, your friend Bill.
Yeah, my friend Bill. Well, just say this. Well, I have a friend Bill that got me too'd, you know, in the army. That's because of the thing too about women. They most of, a lot of the times these women are just lying about that. It's like, or if something does happen, it's exaggerated, or they like twist the truth around to make it seem worse. Because I've seen that a lot happen a lot. I mean, when I was like leaving my unit in Korea, I was really like disillusioned with the army in that sense, because, you know, I had talked about that one girl that got the death by BBC, and she basically, you know, wrote off her injury per se for 6 months and did absolutely nothing that whole time. She was fucking dead weight to the platoon. And what happened was in that time is that when I was leaving, we were having like a EO meetings. So you have to have like these monthly like meetings where like the EO rep for the company starts to say, oh, well, you know, we had to talk about the equal opportunity about men and women, and we got to make sure that everyone knows that, you know, if something is happening, you got to call it out and everything. Does anyone have any like issues or things like, and like, yeah, I got some issues. So, you know, I've noticed here and at least in my platoon, actually in the other platoon too, because in the company, a lot of the females aren't pulling their weight around. I see most of the guys doing all the heavy lifting and everything while all the females are doing all the paperwork and stuff. Why is it that we have to do all the heavy lifting and they can do all the administrative stuff? Shouldn't we learn those things too if we want to advance our career? I don't know how to do, I forget what it was, paperwork. I never was taught, but, you know, so-and-so over here knows all about it real well. But I never see her outside, you know, doing the Connex layouts. I never see her, you know, lifting up this 400-pound power washing machine onto the back of the LMTV. You know, she's apparently injured, but I'm out here doing all this stuff. So why aren't the females in this company pulling their weight? Not to say every female is, and I'm not even talking about the NCOs. I'm mostly talking about the junior enlisted. And they're like, and then people were surprised that I actually said something. And they were just shocked and like, well, you know, that's a very interesting thing. But, you know, and they were trying to like kind of brush off the question because the guy who was a EO rep was just like, oh, fuck, he's actually saying the truth, but I can't say something like this. So he tries to brush off the question and bring it up to something else. And we had left. So I got clowned by all the dudes in my platoon. It's like, damn it. I fucking doxed myself. Fuck. Lex, what are you doing? And so they're like, you shouldn't. You know, you should have said anything. Like, we agree with you, but like, it's not going to do anything about it. Oh, and so, yeah, I don't know. These dudes were just so disillusioned. They already knew that nothing was going to change, even if I had said something about that.
That's terrible in so many ways. When it comes to the army, what would you say is the big thing that's happening with, the men coming in, the young men coming in, and the young women, like how they view the army?
Well, a lot of the issue is that a lot of people aren't, you know, physically capable enough. Like I talked about last time that, you know, the female standard is like 13 pushups, while for men it's 35. Again, 35 pushups is not a lot. So that's just the bare minimum. The more you do, the better score you get. And we know how they tried doing like the gender neutral PT test, but that failed miserably. More women were failing that than they were the old PT test. And so a lot of the issue is that most young people nowadays are not physically capable enough to do the military, and we're not getting the quality of soldier that we should be having, and which is making our lethality a lot worse.
What would you say would be the views between men and women on the sexual inner gender dynamics, like the sex culture within the army? What do you think that's like?
Well, so when I was going in there, like when I entered, it was under Obama, and so they were really pushing hard, like these leftist kind of like things, like, you know, oh, it's rape if you guys are both drunk, but, you know, if both of them are drunk, the male is at fault, at things like this. It you know, they legitimately said that. Like, so if they were both drunk and the male was drunk and the female was drunk, it would be rape. The male would be charged, not the female. And so people were still like, you know, like getting, you were smashing each other. But now with all this Me Too stuff that was happening, guys are more hesitant, I would say, nowadays to like even mess with females. It still happens. And, you know, you're, you know, playing with fire, you might get burned. But yeah, because these females, even though they know they're getting ran through, they don't want to have that idea like they're being ostracized, because they know that, oh, yeah, no. Private so-and-so over here got fucking her back blown up by 5 guys in one night. You know, that shit, rumors, you know, spread real quick. And like what happened to my friend, you know, Mr. Bill over here, he was accused of something he never did. And then she admitted afterwards to someone, he recorded the conversation, that it was just, she regretted having sex with him, and she didn't want people to think bad because she had sex with him. That's it. So she, you know, almost got this man to go to fucking jail and prison because of her shame, because of her actions.
Do you think there's any, like, you know, our older officers and everything, are they telling you guys don't do it?
No, they.
Oh, they're part of the scam.
It. Yeah, definitely. They're all invested in. Like they are part of it. I mean, it was some general who had the bright idea to make that fucking those woke army commercials. Whoever that fucking general was should be fucking.
He was a simp, and you know it was he.
Yes, giga simp. It's just, it's bad.
Wow, I knew it was bad. And let me ask you this: how often did you guys ever cross paths with any of the other, like, other branches of the military? Like, did Army ever cross paths with anyone else?
Me personally, I never really did.
Now, like, when you guys were in these towns, what was that like in terms of the atmosphere for the Thought Girl Summers? Because did they seek you guys out because they saw you in uniform?
So depends. So, like, when I was in Korea, like, there, like, those were like we would call them the Vils. So, like, if you wanted to go hang out with, like, hey, you want to head out to the Vil? And you would have different Vils. You would have Humphreyville, Caseyville, Stanleyville. So, depending on what, like, camp you were at in Korea, you would just, you know, you would put the name and you'd go to the Vil. So everyone would know, like, oh, let's just go to the Vil and get a good meal, or let's go to the Vil, you know, have a drink at the bar or something. And down in Korea, at least, there's this concept called, like, juicy girls. Basically, it's like these Filipino women who are basically trafficked and are there to just try to look hot and pretty and try to get you to buy more drinks. They won't have sex with you. Very rarely they do, but they make you feel like, oh, buy me a drink. Let's get a drink. And, you know, you can hold them and you can touch them, but you really can't do much more with them. But yeah, that's what they do. And then in stateside, it depends where you're at. So, like, I heard stories of Fayetteville, which is outside of Fort Bragg in Virginia. They call it Fayetnam. So there's like a strip club right outside the base. It's like basically hardcore the ghetto. And then if you go to Fort Hood in Texas, it's Killeen. That's also a shit show. And then when I was in a basic training, outside of that base was Lawton, which is like the worst shithole I've ever seen in my life. Literally nothing there. So depressing. It's like one of the meth capitals of the United States.
Damn.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, it's bad.
I mean, what's a young guy to do, right? So you got guys that are coming in, right? Fresh, young. How are they dealing with that?
Oh, these dumb privates will buy a charger. So there's this joke in the military where, like, you know, you come into the military and you're issued a charger or a Camaro at like 35% interest rate, like this ridiculous amount. Like they're so, think about it, you got like these 17, 18 year olds who are given like $25,000 bonuses, crazy amounts of money. They're making money now. They're away from home. They're for the first time in their life, you know, they're getting all this money. They don't know like smart financial decisions. They just start buying like a charger and a Camaro and everything for like ridiculous interest. at these shady like car dealers and like just destroying their life and with credit, and then they'll marry like a stripper outside the base, and they think, oh no, I can make her. She's the one. I know she is. And then those fat behemoths will become, well, actually, will become even more fatter behemoths and become like what we talked about before, the dependapotamuses, and just shit out their little bastard children, and then eventually they'll get divorced, raped when she finds some other simp to take care of her. So
that sounds like shitty on every level.
Yeah, like NCOs okay. Try telling them what to do, but they still do it.
All right. Well, Blacksmith, thank you very much. Thank you very much for opening our eyes.
Oh yeah.
Well, according to what happened to Lil Nas X,
and other spreading things your tree in cheeks. and remember, kids, if just because Lil Nas X gets his cheeks clapped from time to time doesn't mean he's gay.
Yeah, no, it's something else.
Yeah, about that. That's where we've come to. Is that what is happening in our service? So they're preaching woke ideology. Guys are getting their cheeks took. Girls are getting rammed through. Dudes are getting, I'm assuming, lots of STDs are going around on base. Getting me too.
Let me talk about one thing about the infidelity. Like, infidelity is rampant on both sides. I have to be fair. Both men and women in service are like both unfaithful to their partners. But it's crazy, like the stories you hear of like when the dudes being deployed downrange, and when they come back, they've literally lost everything. Wife took the kids. Wife, drained their bank accounts of all their life savings, everything. They're basically homeless, and or of dudes who, you know, have second wives when they're like deployed in another country. Like, there's a famous story that you can look it up of a master sergeant or sergeant first class who had a wife back in the States, but got married to a Korean woman while he was in Korea. And the poor Korean woman found out eventually that he was already married, and the dude, you know, got arrested and was sent to prison. But that poor woman, she had no idea. She thought, oh, I finally found someone. I finally found a good man. And, you know, lo and behold, that dude is like, you know, has a second family back home. So it's crazy.
Hey, Drex, I found my unicorn.
Let me ask you something. What is the best unicorn gone wrong story you've seen in the service, Lex? A guy who's like, nah, she's different.
I'm trying to think. I remember a story about that, but it's been like 4 or 5 years now. So I'm trying to remember what.
You see, facts. She's different. She loves me. Tim, do you know these guys actually believe that?
Yeah. Yeah, I believe that.
Legitimately, dude, I've been around military guys. They're military and law enforcement are the biggest simps you'll ever find, bar none.
Yep.
Like, who else marries strippers at the rate? Like, hey, Lex, do you believe that military guys marry strippers at a higher rate than probably like anyone in the general public?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. It's ridiculous the amount. You know, it wouldn't be a stereotype if it wasn't true. You know, as much as people don't want to admit it, stereotypes come from some place of like truth or fact. People wouldn't just make up a correlation to that if it didn't happen, because it's happened so much. That's the thing. It's crazy. And dudes, like NCOs will tell their privates, like, don't tell their, you know, when I'm privates, you know what I mean? But they'll tell their soldiers, don't marry a stripper. Don't fuck a stripper. Don't impregnate a stripper. But what are these fucking dudes do? You know, bust a nut, and now they're now attached to a literal stripper for the rest of their life, who's now raising their bastard child. It's crazy.
Do these guys have any standards, would you say?
No, Thirsty Thursday is real throughout the military. It's like thirsty forever. Thirsty eternity. If it moves, they'll fuck it. Oh, you know what? I do have a funny story. This one female, she was a notorious thought in our battalion. She was like fucking everyone and everything. And so they went out on FTX, so a field training exercise for like a couple weeks. When you're out in FTX, you don't always have the luxury of showering. So, you know, you'll be out in the middle of summer, sweating, you know, you start smelling and everything, you can't shower. And this, this one dude, he was down bad. He hadn't, you know, it had been a while that he had gotten some, and, you know, he was starting to get a little desperate. So they've been out there for 3 weeks out in the field training exercise. They haven't showered. He hasn't showered and she hasn't showered. So they're all sweaty and nasty. And while they were out in the field training exercise, they have an LMTV. And let's just say that they both got some UTIs and, you know, it's bad. Like they don't care like where they do it. They'll just do it.
Damn.
And so you ever have to clothespin your nose in order to finish?
No, I've never had to do that. Thankfully enough.
That's because you never smashed a German Shepherd.
I'm not Dirty Dan.
Poor Dirty Dan. Yeah. Poor Dirty Dan.
He's done so dirty now. Anyways, Lex, we got to wrap this up, man. Yeah, basically, you've done your own episode here. We're going to have to get RPM and TFM in a different episode.
Oh, shit. Have a book.
Well, you and Miss J Love are basically a solo episode. But I can't cut it because it's all good stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, that Felice Johnson story with Mr. Hamilton, that one really like left me disturbed when I first heard it. I was in just utter shock the whole time. It's bad.
Lil Nas X got his cheeks took. God damn, man.
Yeah.
God damn.
They showed me what the dude looked like, and he was a really small, effeminate black dude, like looking like Lil Nas X.
I do have a question about that little Nas X dude. If the military is always promoting being gay, then why doesn't, especially everyone knows it, why doesn't he just straight up say, like, yeah, man, I'm gay? What's the purpose of him at that point pretending?
I don't know. So this was like recently, like a couple years after they had like gotten rid of the don't ask, don't tell policy. And I guess he just wasn't comfortable with it. Like, he really wanted to be straight, but he just wasn't comfortable with the fact. Like, I know they're like, oh, now it's okay to be gay and whatnot. But I imagine, you know, he was black. So in his family household, they wouldn't have allowed it. And so he had like this mentality that like, oh, I'm straight. But he wasn't straight. Everyone knew the dude was gay. He just didn't want to admit it.
Sounds like little Nas X needs to get onto Ken's counseling couch.
Yeah. Ken's casting couch.
Oh, well, oh, yeah. Anyways, thank you guys for listening for this episode of Thought Girl Summer. We'll see you next time. Stay frosty.
Peace out, y'all.
Peace out, everyone. Thank y'all.